One day a farmer was out working in his field, and he has a highway running through his property, and he noticed out on the highway that a DOT truck pulled up. And it pulled over to the side of the road, and a man got out of the DOT truck, went over and dug a hole. And then he got back in the truck. Several minutes later, another man gets out of the truck, and he goes over and he puts the dirt back into the hole. Truck pulls up about 50 yards, same thing. Digging, waiting, filling. This happens about 6 times, and finally the farmer can't stand it anymore. What's going on? What are these guys doing? So he saunters across the field, and he walks up, says, "Hey, I noticed you guys, you're digging the holes, and then a little bit later you fill it back in. What are you doing?" And the DOT guys explain that they're a part of the State Highway Beautification Project, and they're planting trees, except the guy who plants the seeds was homesick that day. Unfortunately, ministry in the church can sometimes feel that way. The digging of holes, putting the dirt back in, digging, waiting, filling, digging, waiting, filling. And we move a lot of dirt around, but maybe we don't plant too many seeds. But here's the thing. Jesus didn't just call us to be busy. He called us to love God, to love people, and to serve one another. And we want to get to a place where we're not just digging, waiting, and filling. And the difference between digging, waiting, and filling and the planting of trees, the difference between church busy work and life-changing ministry is spiritual gifts. Right here at Sunrise, these gifts are of essential importance. Every one of us, the moment of our salvation, the moment that you gave your life to Christ, that you were baptized into Him, you received a spiritual gift. Not only that, but your giftedness was specially designed by God just for you. He gave you exactly what you needed, exactly for what He's called you to do. We are thoroughly equipped for what God has called us to do. Now think about this for a moment, because I think this is a magnificent truth. And when we properly understand it, it's the kind of thing that it'll lift us up, and it should cast away all doubt and discouragement from our minds about our place and purpose in the kingdom of God. Just think. The sovereign God of the universe, the God who hung massive stars in space, stars that are millions and millions of miles across, the same God that put our little planet in orbit at just the perfect speed, at just the right rotation, at just the perfect distance from our little red dwarf sun, that burns at just the perfect temperature to support life. And on that planet, He put an atmosphere made up of just the perfect balance, the perfect calibration of chemicals to sustain life on this planet. The same God who did that is the God that gifted you. And He did so with the same wisdom and the same knowledge and the same level of perfection that He did all of those other things. He has done this for each one of us in the church, so that the church has everything it needs to do what He's called us to do. Now, a spiritual gift is a spiritually empowered ability given to every believer to help the church be the church. Not only that, but when somebody uses their spiritual gift in the body, it has this ripple effect that goes out from the person with that gift, and it spreads throughout the body, so that when, say, a person has the gift of encouragement, when they use that gift, not only is the person that they encourage encouraged, but it spreads encouragement throughout the whole body. Everybody becomes just a little bit more encouraging. If somebody has the gift of giving and they show generosity, it raises the generosity level of the whole church. And so when we use our gifts, it is an encouragement. It is a challenge. It is an example to the whole church. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11, the apostle breaks the gifts down into two categories. He talks about speaking gifts, and he talks about serving gifts. Here's what he says. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to minister to others. If anyone speaks, he should do it as the one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides. So some gifts build up the body by what they say. In the book of James, it talks about the incredible power of the tongue for evil. But when the Holy Spirit comes into your life and the Holy Spirit gets a hold of your words, it can turn the immense power of that tongue and use it as an incredible construction tool for building up the church. So some are gifted to build up the church by what they say. Others are gifted to build up the church by what they do, through acts of service and love. And these are the serving gifts. With the serving gifts, random acts of kindness become Holy Spirit-guided missiles of love. Now, the church needs both types of these gifts. We need speaking gifts. We need serving gifts. And just because you have a speaking gift doesn't mean that you don't ever serve. And just because you have a serving gift doesn't mean that you never speak. But we each have these different kinds of gifts. And both are needed. Both are essential. Both are important. So what I want to do this morning is look at those gifts that are best characterized as the serving gifts. Now, the serving gifts, they run counter to our sinful human nature. You know, our human nature is such that it's selfish. Give me, give me, give me. I want. It's all about me, myself, and I. The sinful nature says things like, well, better them than me. Or as long as I get mine. And when you have this kind of attitude in the church, it is destructive. It's like the two guys that survived a shipwreck and they're sitting on one end of the lifeboat and they're doing nothing. Meanwhile, at the other end of the lifeboat, the people are bailing furiously through a hole that's streaming water. And these two guys are over here and one says to the other, thank God that hole's not on our end of the boat. Sometimes the church is like that. And this is where the serving gifts come in and make all of the difference. You see, the human heart, when it is consumed by the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit comes in and takes a hold of it, becomes capable of acts that are wholly divine. The serving gifts, they knock the idol of self off of the pedestal of pride and shatter it at the foot of the cross. Those with the serving gifts are the hands of Jesus among us. So let's just walk through these one at a time. And we're going to be jumping back and forth between basically Romans chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You can follow along without opening your Bible, or you can open that and read it as we go here. But the first gift we want to look at, the first serving gift, is called the gift of serving. It's also called the gift of helping or the gift of helps. And with each one of these gifts, I want to introduce you to a person, somebody who displays that gift. And these gifts, these people are all real people. And the first person I want to introduce you to is a sweet older lady named Ethel. She's 90 years old, or she was when I met her. I met her at my grandfather's funeral, or after the funeral, really. The family had moved into the fellowship wing of the church, and we're all sitting down for a meal and sharing old memories. And I had gone back into the auditorium to retrieve my Bible. And when I walked in there, there was only one other person in there. It was this lady, Ethel, and she was slowly shuffling up and down the rows of pews. And what she was doing was, she was straightening out all the hymnals. She was picking up all the discarded programs, cleaning up any tissue or trash that had been left behind. And when I went to go talk to her and introduce myself, she had to put her teeth in to talk to me. It was kind of cute. And she'd explained that the cleaning up the pews had been her ministry in this church for decades. She'd been doing this week in and week out for every Sunday morning, for every Sunday night, for every Wednesday night service, for any special events like this funeral service for my grandfather. And she had such a joy about the whole thing, Terry. It was unreal. I mean, she's like, well, somebody's got to clean these stupid pews. No, it wasn't that. She's like, people are going to come in here and they're coming to worship God and they're coming to learn more about Jesus. And these are Jesus' pews. And they're going to be the best that they can be. And I know I'm sitting here talking about serving and humility. And so this might sound contrary to that. But she was proud of what she was doing. That it meant a lot to her because it was an act of worship. It was an act of service. And I think Ethel is an example of somebody who has the gift of serving. We find this gift mentioned in Romans 12:7. And the word that's used there literally means in the place of. In the place of. And the idea is that you're doing this work so somebody else can do their thing. I do this so that somebody else can do what God has called them to do. That's just the idea behind it. If you flip over to 1 Corinthians 12:28, there's a different word used there. Some people think this is a different gift. A lot think that it's the same gift, just described in a different way. And there it is the gift of helps or helping. And the word used there literally means to wait on tables. You know, think of you're going to Chili's, you sit down and a server comes up and brings you your drinks and takes your order. And any needs that you have, they wait on you. They serve you. But by the time you got to the first century, this idea of waiting on tables came to include serving of all sorts. And the word used here is actually very closely related to the word that's used for deacons in the church. Because the word deacon, diakonos, originally meant to wait on tables. So it's just to serve. To serve and to take care of the needs of others. The gift of serving is the divinely given ability to recognize and meet the needs of others. And in any church, there are a number of people who do countless things behind the scenes. They might not have the title. They may not get the recognition. They don't seek the spotlight. But they are the backbone of ministry. In fact, I think in most churches what you'll find is there are more people with the serving gift than any other spiritual gift. The church needs that. And in my experience, whenever I've walked a group of people through taking, you know, some sort of gifts test, this is the most frequent one that comes up. And I've asked other preachers if their experience has been the same. And it has. A person with the serving gift has an alertness to the needs of others. They'll see the need before other people do. They recognize it before anyone else is even aware that there is an issue. And they search out ways to meet those needs. They give of their time and their effort to help others. And they're often content to serve in the background. They don't need the publicity or anything like that. And often they're happy just helping to increase the effectiveness of the ministry of others. That's the gift of serving. Next, we're going to look at the gift of giving. You'll find it in Romans 12:8. And I want to introduce you to Eric and Susan. Eric and Susan were a couple. They They had lived the American dream. They had built up a successful business. They had lots of money coming in. Everybody knew their business. They had a good reputation there in the town. And they finally got to the top of the ladder. They'd accomplished all that they thought they wanted to accomplish, except they discovered that their lives were empty. And so they gave their lives to Christ. And Jesus kind of came in and he just rearranged their priorities. And they were still successful business people. They still had ability to make money. But what Jesus did was give them a whole new focus with it. And they realized that maybe God had blessed them so that they could bless others. And so they began to use their wealth and their financial ability to help other people. And a lot of times it just began in small ways, opening a room in their home to an unwed mother. They loaned a car to someone whose car was in the shop and they had no way of getting to work. Eventually, they just bought an extra car so that they would have one available to loan out when somebody needed. And there was even a few occasions where they bought a car for somebody who was in need. They used their business connections to help people find jobs, and they were just constantly using their resources to give to others. Those with the gift of giving have the divinely given ability to earn, manage, and contribute money and resources for the Lord's work. And they do so with great joy and generosity. We find this gift mentioned in Romans 12:8. And the word that Paul uses there means to give with the singleness of heart. So when you're using the gift of giving, you're not giving for what you'll get out of it. You're not greasing the skids for something down the road. There's no ulterior motives at all. But it's to give with that singleness of heart. And just as it is with most gifts, giving is something that we're all called to do anyway. But God has gifted certain people in the church to set the tone of generosity in the body. And these people have an eager desire to share their resources. And if you talk to them, they will talk to you as though they genuinely believe that everything they have actually belongs to God. It's all His anyway, right? And they have a confidence that regardless of what they use to help others, that God will supply their needs. And they're completely confident and trusting in that fact. Their heart is set on heavenly values, not on earthly treasures. Next is the gift of mercy, also found in Romans 12:8. Every Tuesday at about 10 a.m., Ruby expected a knock on the door. And she knew that when she opened the door, there would be Linda with a warm smile, with listening ears, and with maybe a vase of flowers or a plate of cookies. But most importantly, Linda came with time. Not very many people stopped to see Ruby anymore. Most of her family had either moved away or had forgotten about her. But not Linda. Linda came by just about every single week to talk to her. And ever since her stroke 3 years ago, Ruby hadn't been able to come to church. So Linda brought church to her. She brought her a bulletin, a CD of the sermon, would bring her bits of news and information about people in the church and everything going on. And they would sit and they would talk for an hour, maybe two. Ruby was always sad to see Linda go. But Ruby also knew that Linda had others that she wanted to stop and see as well. You see, Linda had a heart. A heart for the hurting, a heart for the lonely, the sick, the elderly, the shut-ins. And her flowers and her cookies and her cards had left a legacy of mercy throughout the church. The gift of mercy is the divinely given ability to bring healing, hope, and comfort to those who are suffering. Emotionally, physically, or mentally. Now, those with the gift of mercy are able to feel just an extra measure of sympathy and compassion for others. and they're able to act accordingly. And they know how to act when somebody's hurting. See, weird thing happens sometimes when people are going through a crisis. Let's say that somebody gets diagnosed with a disease. You know, and all of a sudden, you know, people that have talked to you every week and you've shared things with, all of a sudden they don't know what to say to you. They don't know how to act. They, you know, well, do I talk to them about the same old stuff? Do I ask them about the disease? Do I, you know, and people in this situation often discover that people now treat me different than they used to. But somebody with the gift of mercy is able to just step into these situations and know what is needed, know what needs to be said, and know what doesn't need to be said. And I think that kind of opens the door for everyone else to enter back into their lives and brings them a measure of joy in a situation where there's often very little joy. The next spiritual gift is the gift of leadership. There's also a second gift mentioned that depending on your translation, might be governments, it might be ruling, it might be administration, depending on what you're reading. It's found in Romans 12:8 and 1 Corinthians 12:28. The church had been a different place ever since Jim and his family moved to town. The small church had been stagnant for years. Its people had resigned themselves to just a place of insignificance in the kingdom. The young minister struggled to move the congregation in any direction. But then Jim came, and Jim was a man of passionate vision and action. And he saw the possibilities of what could be. So Jim took the initiative. With the permission of the board, he started a men's group. And it started small, but it grew from there. And within a few years, that little men's group had transformed the leadership of the church. He helped the minister start a Wednesday night prayer meeting, which brought renewal and revitalization to the spiritual life of the church. Jim wasn't an elder. He wasn't even on the board. But he had the gift of leadership, and he used it. We find this gift mentioned in Romans 12:8, and the word used there means to stand before. This is the person who's out front. This is the person leading the charge. This is the person saying, we can do this. Let's get it done. And over in 1 Corinthians 12:28, there's another gift, maybe the same gift, that's variously translated as government, administration, ruling. The word used there is literally a ship's helmsman. Think of an old-time ship with the big wheel, you know, and you're turning the rudder. Somebody with the gift of leadership is able to give direction to the whole body of Christ. They're like a rudder for the church. Their vision and action determine the direction for the whole body. The gift of leadership is a God-given vision, turns God-given vision into the influence to move God's people towards God's purpose. That's what the gift of leadership is. The ability to turn God's vision into the influence to move God's people towards God's purpose. Then comes the gift of faith. 1 Corinthians 12:9. The elders' meeting had degenerated into a heated disagreement. The obstacle seemed monumental. The proposed solution seemed minimal. See, a program was needed for the youth, but there weren't enough volunteers. The few they had didn't like the material they were using, and they could find no agreement about what kind of youth program they should even have. There were some that said it needed to be entirely a Bible study. Our kids need biblical depth. The others said, we need fun and games. what good's a youth program if no one's there? We need something to attract them. We need something to bring them in. And so they would fight this and they would debate this. They couldn't even agree on what day or night the youth program should be. And so back and forth the discussion went. Each side making their arguments and making their points. And Rick had sat there quietly. Hadn't said a word. Listening to the whole thing. And truth be told, each side had some very good points. Honest points. But then Rick finally said something. He held up his hands and he said, Gentlemen, I think we should stop and pray about this. And with just that one sentence, the whole room got very quiet. Because they realized that they were getting heated in their argument about what they wanted, but nobody was stopping to consider what God wanted. And with that one comment, one by one, he had turned every heart and mind in that room toward the throne of the universe. And they realized that they had been thinking about the earthly realities, but nobody was considering the heavenly possibilities. And that one statement and their one prayer was the turning point in that discussion. Rick had that way about him. He said very little, but when he did speak, his words carried great weight because they were always considered words of a deep faith. Not only did Rick have a strong confidence in God, but he was able to anchor others to that confidence. Such is the case with those who have the gift of faith. Now, when we talk about the gift of faith, we're not talking about saving faith. We're not talking about the faith that you have when you come to Christ and you give your life to Christ and you receive Him as your Lord and Savior. That saving faith is faith that we all have. But when we're talking about the gift of faith, we are talking about somebody who has confidence and trust that God can follow through on His Word and will act on that confidence. Someone with the gift of faith can see through the earthly obstacles to the heavenly vision. They have the visionary spirit that looks beyond just the human possibility. They don't consider only what we can do with our own human strength, but they consider what we can do with the power of God. And a person with the gift of faith is deeply distressed when other believers are afraid to step out, when they are motivated by fear rather than faith. And they look at hardships and setbacks as temporary and surmountable because they have this unwavering confidence in the strength of God. That's the gift of faith. The last gift we want to look at this morning is the gift of discernment. 1 Corinthians 12:10. It had looked like the vote would be unanimous. Everything had gone so well to this point. It looked like the church had finally found the associate minister they had been wanting for years. He had the perfect education. He had the right experience. He had the right charisma. And everybody loved him. And just listening to people talk, the vote was going to be unanimous. Except that Carol had a problem. Something didn't sit right with her, and she didn't know what it was, and she didn't know why. Couldn't put her finger on it, but just something was there in the back of her mind saying something is wrong here. Now, Carol, by nature, isn't a suspicious or a judgmental person. And so she went to God in prayer and she said, Lord, if you're trying to show me something, open my eyes, help me to see what it is, and open the eyes of the leadership if there's something we need to see here. The candidate comes back for his next visit. In fact, this is the final round before he's placed before the congregation. And Carol noticed something with the way that this guy interacted with ladies in the church. He seemed to gravitate towards the more attractive ladies. He would spend more time with them. He would engage them in conversation. And he was very handsy. He hugged them a lot. He was constantly putting his hand on their shoulder, or when they were sitting down, reaching across and putting a hand on a knee. And she also noticed his wife during these moments. She just looked troubled and looked upset. And she also noticed that he didn't treat others in the church this way. You know, with the guys in the church, it was just a handshake would suffice. And it bothered her. And so she went to the elder in charge of the search committee and she just said, "Look, I'm not trying to stir up trouble here. And I'll support the church and the leadership and whatever they decide. But I've been praying about this and this is what I noticed. Do all of his references check out?" And except for a couple of questions, everything had checked out. And she said, "Would you please see if there are any unlisted references you can talk to? Somebody that wasn't mentioned in his resume." So the elder said he would look into it. And it turned out to be the best advice he ever got. Because they started checking around and they found some other people that had worked with him and been in the church. And it turns out that this man had had multiple affairs with ladies in the church. And he'd left a wake of hurt and distrust. And if it wasn't for Carol and her gift of discernment, their church may have been next. We find this spiritual gift over in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 10. And the word used for this gift means to separate one from the other. The gift of discernment is the ability to distinguish good influence from evil influence. Somebody with the gift of discernment is going to have a passion for God's truth and the spirit of error. They have the ability to examine the motivations and the content of various teachers. And people with the gift of discernment are pained by Christians who willingly expose themselves to error and false teaching. And Carol had that gift of discernment. Every one of us here has been spiritually gifted. And many of us have a serving gift. And as I went through these various gifts, it's very possible that as I mentioned one of them, like a little light bulb was going off for you. Say, "Hey, that's me. That's my passion. That's what I'm about." And that might be a bit of a clue as to what your gift is. But if you have a serving gift, you are the hands of Jesus among us. Whether it is the gift of serving, the gift of giving, of mercy, of leadership, of faith, or discernment. But it is through you that Christ's love moves in us and through us. And I want to leave you with the words of Jim Elliot. Jim was a young missionary in the mid-20th century who gave up his life in an effort to take the good news of Jesus to a group of people who had never heard it before. After his death, they found his journals, and his journals are just full of nuggets of wisdom and insight and spiritual depth. But one of the things that he wrote in his journal was this: "God makes his ministers a flame of fire. Am I ignitable? God, deliver me from the dread asbestos of other things. Saturate me with the oil of thy spirit that I may flame. Make me thy fuel, flame of God." And the question I want all of us to ask this morning is the same question he asked there. Am I ignitable? Can God's flame burn in us and in our lives? And if you have a serving gift, the flame of God needs to burn in that area. I'm going to ask that you would stand, and we're going to have a word of prayer. And following the prayer, we're going to sing a song of invitation and commitment. The decision for all of us to make today is to use the gift that God has given us. Some of us here today maybe need some prayer. Terry and Lisa are up here at the cross to pray with you. We will have some of our Stephen ministers back here. You can pray with them, and no matter what it is, no matter what you're going through, feel free to come to us for prayer. If you've got something you need to talk to me about, or a decision you want to make, you're looking for a church home, you need to rededicate your life, or you want to be baptized into Christ, I'm going to be at these double doors right over here as we sing the song in just a little. Would you please pray with me? Father God, not only did you wipe away our sin, not only have you given us the promise of eternal life with you, but you've given us a gift to be used right now, right here, that makes a difference in our lives now, today. And I pray that you would help us understand what our gift is. And I pray right now, Lord, that those who have a serving gift in this church, that you would open their eyes to see that serving gift. And may you light a flame in their life. And may they be the hands of Jesus among us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing.